Very special guest, head coach currently at Western Michigan, also a former longtime head coach in the NHL, Andy Murray joins us. Andy, how you doing? Andy Murray joins us again. Andy, how you doing?
Just great, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Andy, I guess before we get into your thoughts on coaching, the Edmonton Oilers signed another one of your players. I think that's four defensemen now you've lost in the last few years to the NHL. Jordan Oesterle, tell our listeners what they should expect from him. What type of defenseman is he?
Well, we certainly would have liked to have had Jordan back for his fourth year, but, with our academic program, he's got 3.5 years towards his degree. He's an outstanding student, so we know he'll complete it in the summer there. So we're excited for Jordan's opportunity. As you said, we've lost four of our defensemen early in the last 4 years and probably could have lost two more this year, but they decided to stay in school. But Jordan's, he's an NHL skater, first and foremost. He's a great kid, very smart, both on and off the ice. He sees the game very well. Was a solid player for us this year, puck-moving guy. He's a guy that needs to add a little more muscle mass. He played at about 185 this year, but he'll easily carry 195, so I'm sure he'll get up to that by the start of training camp. And his skill and his ability to move the puck are what teams need, and he also competes defensively. He's got a real good stick. He contains well down low versus the rush, maybe down low deep in the zone. At times that muscle mass will help him, that much more. But he's got a chance to be an NHL player for sure. Good signing by the Oilers. I think if they'd waited till next year, there'd probably be 20 to 25 teams trying to sign him if he was coming out.
You mentioned compete defensively. Andy, as a coach, you've coached at so many different levels, a lot of different players. How much can a coach enhance the inner competitive drive of players?
Well, I'd like to think that you can enhance it quite a bit, or you shouldn't be in the business. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. So, obviously, intrinsic values and, things they've learned in their home environment or their youth hockey environment in terms of competing and recognizing you got to go out and lay it on the line every day. I mean, that some of it is genetic, some of it is trained early in life, but, you have to believe as a coach that you can enhance that with any player you got. And I think there's been examples of that where players have come to realize you got to compete, you got to battle. I mean, it's like I tell guys, you're your own company. When I'm coaching Keith Tkachuk, it's Keith Tkachuk Incorporated. It's Nugent Hopkins Incorporated. You're your own individual company, and you got to play as hard as you possibly can and compete every day. So I think by emphasizing in practice, making sure that you're doing competitive drills where, whether there's any type of drill you do in practice, there should be success reinforcement where the people that do it well are rewarded. So I think you can enhance it.
Andy Murray joins us. Andy, having coached at the CIS level, of course, NCAA, American League, the NHL, you've been at the top and you've seen as every step goes, the harder it is. Like guys who are just naturally skilled players maybe at the lower levels can get by on skill alone. And then as they go higher, it's like, man, I really got to match the work ethic of these other guys because they're just as skilled as me. As an NHL coach, when you had young players come in, how do you inform them of that, or is that something the players can only learn from by going on the ice and realizing it?
Well, I think first and foremost, the coach can play a role, but more important than that is the leadership core you have in the dressing room and that you have players that have been through it and can show these young players exactly how it has to be done. And I think you look at the good Oiler teams of the past and the good teams like the Red Wings and any team that I've coached that has had success, you've got that solid core of veterans in the dressing room that make sure that these young players know right away, what the proper method is and how you have to go about your daily business. And I know in St. Louis I had a very, very young team and there were some tough lessons. I had a young David Perron who I'm a big fan of, and David would tell you I was very hard on him early in his career. He's a guy that didn't play Triple A midget, then made his major junior team, and the year after, lo and behold, he's playing in the National Hockey League. So he really didn't have a strong hockey background, and we had to impress upon him every single day what it meant to be a professional. And it's fun to watch him play with the Oilers. He might be their best player this year.
Andy Murray joins us, currently a head coach at Western Michigan. You know, Andy, it is fun. You need some tough love, I'm guessing, for young players. They might not like it at the time, just like a teenager at home, but they appreciate it later on. I want to talk about, as a head coach, you learning from your coaches. You've had a lot of assistant coaches in on your past staffs. If guys used to be a head coach at any other level, would they challenge you as a head coach more? Would they make you better by having former head coaches on your staff?
Well, you know, I've had a number of different mixes on coaching staffs, and as you mentioned, I'm an old coach, so I've been around and had different things. I mean, I look at a guy like Dave Tippett, who was my assistant in Los Angeles, and Dave had never been a head coach at the NHL level, but was successful at the American Hockey League level, and, you know, some other guys of that ilk that had not necessarily been NHL head coaches, been an assistant, but I think as a head coach, you want assistants that challenge them. I've got two assistants here at Western, and Rob Fack and Pat Furschweiler, and they challenge me every day. We meet every day early in the morning and review our daily plan. And, you know, they challenge the ideas all the time because that's what you want as a coach. So, you know, you walk out that office door and you talk to your players, you got to have a common front, make sure you're all going in the same direction. But you need that on your staff. You need to be challenged to be as good as you can possibly be. And there's a lot of times in our meetings I'll throw ideas out that are a little bit bizarre, and I know the answer, but I don't want these guys to review it and make sure that they're learning on the job too. So, yeah, it's imperative. I think there's different mixes in staffs, but you want to have a staff where, you know, the ideas are being challenged.
Andy, you were an assistant coach in university, then in the American League, then the National Hockey League for a long time, before you got your first head coaching job in 1999 at the NHL level anyway, with the Los Angeles Kings. When you were an assistant or an associate coach compared to a head coach, did your former days as a head coach, did that help you at all? Like, do you lose that knowing how to run the bench feeling when you haven't had it for a while? Or do you think that's something necessary that you should have automatically to be a head coach, is to maybe do both jobs as a head coach and an assistant prior at some point?
I really don't think it matters.
Okay.
I think it's the individual and what they're made of. And the most important thing for me is that you coach within your own personality. And, you know, I think you need to be demanding. You need to be a communicative coach and so on. But I don't know if there's any particular background or experience level that's going to help you anymore. It's what you are as a person and what you are as a hockey coach. So I don't think there's any particular mix. I think, coaches are coaches, and as long as they're guys that want to get better every day and are learning on the job every day, and, you know, I'm hoping that I'm a lot better coach tomorrow than I was today, and that's the way you have to look at it. So I don't think there's any mix. I think you can bring them from junior hockey, from college, from any background, American League level. It's how they communicate, how demanding they are of their players, and, you know, just the ability to teach and lead that makes a difference.
Having been in the NHL, you mentioned a guy like Dave Tippett was on your staff, and he's become now one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League. Did you recognize that even when he was an assistant with you?
There's no question. I mean, I've coached a lot of work with a lot of coaches as assistants, and in my opinion, would have been great National Hockey League coaches if they just had the opportunity. And certainly, Dave was one of those guys. I mean, he brought qualities as a player. He was a competitive player, had a good understanding of the game, and, you know, commanded respect when he spoke. So you could certainly recognize that. But, you know, again, the big thing in our business, there's a lot of quality people that just have not been given an opportunity. And it's unfortunate because, you know, that's why I remind coaches all the time, you know, just worry about doing a good job where you are and take advantage of the opportunity you got, because every time you think things aren't going right and you're feeling pretty down in the dumps, just think about how many other people love to have the job you've got. And that's whether it's coaching junior hockey, coaching college hockey, professional hockey, we live a pretty fortunate life, and there's more good coaches out there than there are opportunities.
Andy Murray joins us, head coach of Western Michigan. We're just talking about coaching overall. And the reason I bring up the question, Andy, is the Edmonton Oilers, and Dallas Eakins, a rookie head coach, and he has nobody on his staff who is a former head coach. And compared to a lot of the other teams in the league, they're pro hockey coaching experience isn't as much. And I'm wondering, when you were an NHL coach, did you ever feel like, hey, you know what? I think we know what they're doing, and I can counterbalance him better just based on your previous experience of 30 years?
Never felt that. Never felt that it was a matter of trying to outcoach the other coach. I mean, it's a matter of trying to give your players the opportunity to be successful and trying to put the odds in your favor, but through preparation. But I never, ever felt it was my coaching against another coach. It was always their personnel, their players, and the players are ultimately the ones that make the difference. And by the way, any time a team's not winning as many games as they lose, there's all kinds of different theories as to what the reasons are. But I can tell you right now, the mix and the other coaching staff and their assistant coaches, if that's being questioned, I have no doubt that they've got one of the best coaching staffs in the league.
And you mentioned the mix of players, and until, you know, players obviously play the game, and until you have enough good ones, it's hard to win. I'm assuming at some point in your career, you coach a team where maybe you're like, you know what, we don't have the same horses as the other team. What did you do to try to counter that to give your team the best chance to win, even if you knew that you didn't have the right mix at that moment?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the two teams that I coached. I mean, I coached an L.A. Kings team that was trying to turn their program around, which we did, and then we were unable to, with the way that the budget systems and that worked for our team at that time, we were unable to keep guys like Rob Blake and, you know, some of the other quality guys we wanted to keep. And then St. Louis Blues, I think it had, what, 50-some points the year I went there. So we had nothing but young players on our roster. So a lot of nights you knew that you were in tough against some of the other teams. I remember when Derek Armstrong was our number one center guy, had been in the American Hockey League, was our number one center in L.A., and you went into Colorado and you were playing Colorado and they had Forsberg, and you know, you kind of had a, or Joe Sakic, you had Derek Armstrong saying, well, maybe we can have them match up against Sakic. But then they got that Forsberg kid. He's pretty good. How do you match up against him? But to me, you just trust your players, and you create a belief system that you're just going to refuse to be outworked. You're going to battle and compete all the time, and it doesn't matter what the horses are on the other team. And I think, you know, you realize that what you need to do is establish, in my opinion, when you're not as talented as other teams, you need to have a stopper unit. You need to have a unit on your team that can take away the effectiveness of the other team's top unit. And that's what we did in L.A. and St. Louis, and survived that way. David Backus was a winger for our team in the American Hockey League. I thought he could be a centerman, so we brought him up and we put a big body centerman, and he became our stopper center and gave us a chance to be competitive, because he could play against the other team's top players, and that allowed some of our other offensive players to have better matchups. So I think one thing you can do when you are not quite as talented, you need to do something to at least negate some of the top offense on the other units. And I think you can do that through a stopper unit that knows that their job is to not just, I don't call them a checking unit because that's not strong enough. It has to be a stopper unit. When you go on the ice, nothing happens for the other team.
A stopper unit, I like that term. I'm sure that's pretty hard to find guys that you know that are that good defensively, Andy. And, you know, we just talked earlier about one of your young defensemen that the Oilers have just signed coming out, and it's a real learning process. It's much harder for defensemen, it seems, to adapt to the NHL than it is for forwards. What was your strategy and tactic when you brought in young defensemen and the need to be patient as a coach, but yet at the same time challenge them to try to improve?
Well, I think it's the same thing as any team. If you can, you would prefer for them to play in the American Hockey League. I mean, that's where you would like them to go through the steps. I mean, one only has to look at the Detroit example and the fact that they've been able, because of the way that they've handled their business, have a lot of their players spend time in the American Hockey League before they're brought up. Now, we didn't have that luxury in St. Louis. We're a little bit like the Oilers in terms of having to force-feed some of our young players. But, you know, you just continually work with them. Again, you need some key veteran players that stabilize things. And for me in St. Louis, it was Keith Tkachuk. Obviously in L.A. when we were getting things turned around, it was Rob Blake and guys of that ilk who could command respect in the dressing room and could make sure that once you walked out of the room, whatever you told them, they were there to reinforce it right away and say, guys, He's the coach, and that's exactly the way that we're going to do it here. So, you know, I think that's so very important, is that there's leadership players in the room that can show the way for these guys. And it's tough. I mean, the toughest position to play in the game is defense. I mean, you're going back with your back to the play a lot of times, facing the glass, looking for a puck, and you've obviously got to shoulder check and be aware of what's happening on the ice before you get to the puck so you can make quick decisions. But it's the toughest position to play in the NHL. And again, it's a matter of finding the right mix so that you can have your younger players play with a veteran or have somebody on their side that can show them the right way to go about business.
Andy, as always, I appreciate your insight. Best of luck at Western Michigan. Continued success.
Thank you very much. See ya.